Page 57. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple."
If you'd like to keep those Gospels open at page 57, and the outline of what I have to say is in your service sheet today. I enjoy the singing and the music of Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen, among other songs, wrote the song Hallelujah, which featured in the movie Shrek. And recently in Sydney, Leonard Cohen said that he was on a spiritual quest. He was looking into all religions, and yet natural cheerfulness kept breaking into his life as an antidote to any of them. In the end, however, he settled to be a Jew, Judaism, with what he called a healthy dose of Buddhism, a Jewish Buddhist. You'll know the singer Cat Stevens investigated all religions and then finally settled on Islam. When I heard each of those men, I wondered whether they had ever actually investigated authentic biblical Christianity or whether they just looked at a parody of the real thing. We can well have weighty questions. What is it like to be a Christian? How can I become a Christian? Who will be in heaven? It doesn't matter whether I become a Christian or not. Is it a big issue? Now, each of those four questions is answered by the Lord Jesus in that simple story on page 57, the parable of the great banquet. What is it like to be a Christian? According to the story, Jesus says that being a Christian is like being part of a great banquet, a banquet which I have not prepared and a banquet which I have not provided. Therefore, being a Christian is to be the object of great generosity. Being a Christian, therefore, is not endurable. It is meant to be enjoyable. A friend of mine had an only daughter. He put on a wedding reception on her wedding day. He told the caterers, "Now, there's a lot of people coming and they don't drink a lot, but they eat a lot. I want a banquet." And when we turned up, you couldn't say it was finger food. It wasn't a snack. It wasn't a meal. You'd have to say it was a banquet. But here the Lord Jesus says relationship with God is like being part of a great banquet. Jesus is saying God is the preparer, God is the provider, and God will meet every God-given appetite that I have, whether it be for fulfillment, purpose, companionship. Every God-given appetite will be met. In Australia, we had a prominent politician who once was quoted as saying that for most people, life is an inherently disappointing experience. We never re-elected that man. We can't take much reality in Australia like that. But the reality is, for the Christian, every God-given appetite will be met. Jesus uses this picture. Being a Christian is like being a part of a great banquet. So how can I become a Christian? Well, we can theologize, we can philosophize about it, but would you notice in this story, to become a Christian is to accept the invitation and say, "Yes, I am coming." And who will be in heaven? those who say, yes, I am coming to the banquet. Now, let's at this point just stop here because it's a remarkable truth. We cannot invite ourselves. I make no contribution. I can't earn this banquet in any way. Just come as you are. It is done. It is the widest inclusive invitation. And yet, is it a big deal if I say no? Is it a big deal if I make an excuse? Well, yes, it is. Because the Lord Jesus says, though we cannot save ourselves, we can't invite ourselves, we can damn ourselves. If you look at verse 24, the master said at the banquet, I tell you, not one of these men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. In other words, Jesus saying, God says, it's like, so we say, we don't want you. And God says, well, you won't have me. I'll leave you to yourself. Now, I want to say three things very briefly about this story today. First of all, I want you to notice its setting. See in Luke chapter 14, Jesus is at the Pharisee's house. He's taking the opportunity to give his fellow guests a lesson in etiquette. Don't take the best positions. Verse 13 of chapter 14, he says, don't invite people who can invite you back. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And then he meets a man who says to him in verse 14 and 15, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. So here is one of the Pharisees. No doubt he is in danger of making the presumption that, of course, when the feast in the kingdom of God is there, he'll be there, probably on the basis of his religion, on the basis of his race, on the basis of his ethnic origin. He is going to be there. And it is in the light of the danger of such a presumption that the Lord Jesus tells the story. A certain man put on a great banquet, and of course the invitations went out. People were invited. They said, yes, we'll come, yes, we'll come, yes, we'll come. But in those days there was a second invitation because there was no refrigeration. The food is on the table. Here is the immediacy of the invitation. Come now because the food won't keep. And when the second invitation comes, the people all begin to make rather feeble, weak excuses. The first is in verse 18. I've just bought a field so that I can't come. But wait on, come. The field will be there after the banquet. And who buys a field without seeing the field first? I had a friend who did that in Australia. He looked at a map. He noticed there was a farm for sale. His brother was growing bumper wheat crops 100 miles north. And he thought, well, 100 miles south, it should be good. He bought the farm. He lasted one season. That farm had thin, sandy soil. His brother-in-law, 100 miles north, had beautiful, thick, fertile soil. What's happening here? A feeble excuse. I've bought land. I need to go and look at it. Verse 19, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. Come on. I mean, even the days of Jesus, there was always a field behind where the oxen were being sold so you could go and test them out to make sure they had been trained to pull cooperatively. You don't buy oxen without trying them out first. But this man does. And besides, why not come to the banquet? The oxen will be there later. And then the third excuse is closest to acceptable. I've married a wife. In Israeli law, you could have a year off military service if you got married so that you could produce offspring. So when you went to battle, if you lost your life, at least you'll have offspring. But this is an invitation not to a battle, but to a banquet. So why not bring the wife? These people are looking for reasons why they should not come. And they are feeble and weak, and they are an affront, and they are disrespectful to the master of the banquet. And so look at his response in verse 21. He's angry. It's understandable. And so he sends his servants into the streets, verse 13, to those who can't reciprocate, to the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And when they receive the invitation, what, us? We're invited by such a man on such an occasion to such a banquet? And they're overwhelmed by the generosity of the invitation. And of course, they take that invitation. But the servant comes back, verse 22. There's still room. And so the master says, go out even further beyond the town into the country lanes. I'm determined that my house be full. So you have this mixture of generous determination that every seat be filled. With resolute anger, not one will even get a taste of the banquet. Friends, it's a weighty story. It answers all of these big questions for us. So what does it mean? Who is this master? According to the Lord Jesus, this master is God. He sends his first invitation out through the prophets to Israel. The kingdom is coming. And then he sends the second invitation out through his own son, the Lord Jesus, who comes amongst his people and says, the kingdom of God is at hand. The food is on the table. It won't keep. Do you see the priority of this invitation? See, this man in verse 14 and 15, his problem was that he thought perhaps he could be there by being moral or by being Jewish or by being religious or by being a Pharisee. The immediacy of the invitation comes to him from the Lord Jesus. And if he assumes that he can come any other way, he will not come. Friends, who will be in heaven? Those who accept the invitation. We know it's got nothing to do with us. We can't commend ourselves. We are but hungry paupers. In the words of him, nothing in my hand I bring. You see, this is the distinctive difference between Christianity and every other faith system. Every other faith system tells me what I must do. Biblical Christianity tells me that which God has done. God prepares. God provides. God invites. God visits in the person of his Son who comes and dies and rises from death, and he opens the way into the banquet. And God says, here is the invitation. Will you come? I want you to notice that this invitation to you is free. But this invitation does not come cheaply, because it comes at the cost of the death of God's innocent Son for his undeserving people. It is free, but it is not cheap. So treat it respectfully. I ask you today, are you coming up in your response with creative excuses? Are you presuming, for example, that you're good or that you're religious and that should be enough? But you see, if you believe that you can make it into the presence of God by being good, you're actually making God very cruel, because he sent the Lord Jesus, his Son, unnecessarily to die for you when he knew you could make it on your own by being good. But God knew we couldn't make it on our own. So he sent Jesus out of necessity to take our place. Do not presume on your goodness. But some would say, well, I'm just not good enough to come. No. None of us are. But at this table, this banquet, there are no prerequisites. Come as you are. We say, but come on, I'm just not religious. No, neither am I. I mean, I don't like religion, rites and all of that sort of thing. Whereas Christianity is about relationship and a free offer of the banquet. And you might say, but it's just not my scene. No, very few of us have been born to it. We are all starving paupers in need of food. You say, look, I don't need it. I'm not such a bad person. I mean, I look around at some Christians and I'm even better than them by comparison. But my friend, can I suggest to you today that your biggest problem is God. God is your problem, because one day you are going to have to stand before him. And he requires perfection. And so today, you need to accept his invitation. Come. Oh, but one young man said to me recently, I've got to have a lot of fun yet. I don't want to come yet. I'll come in my terms, in my time. Have a look again at verse 21. The invitation may well pass you by. The master says, go out quickly. Verse 23, compel them, make them, urge them to come in. And so I plead with you today, what is holding you back? Confidence in yourself or your religion? Is it your pride that's holding you back from such a wonderful invitation to such a magnificent banquet? That's how the Lord Jesus describes the kingdom. That's how he describes being a Christian. Will you come? Oh, no, I'm stuck in my ways. My friend, my father was a businessman in the city of Sydney. He was thoroughly stuck in his ways. Until the age of 49, he came home and said, I've become a believer. And years later, my father said the only regret he had in his life was that he'd taken so long to come. Will you come to the banquet? My wife and family and I have lived in the middle of our Bible college in Sydney for 18 years. We lived right in the middle of the campus. And when one of our daughters turned 21, she decided that she was going to have a themed 21st birthday party right at our home in the middle of the campus. And it was going to be a hippie and feral night. Now, this was going to be interesting for the neighbours to see what went on in a Bible college, because people turned up dressed as hippies and sort of non-human ferals. And so I paid for everything, of course. And I said to Ashley, I'll pay for the invitations. I'll pay for the postage to go out. And the invitations went out and I paid for the postage. And then about a week before the party, I noticed Ashley was on the phone and I was paying for the phone call. She was ringing around to friends to ask them whether they were coming. I said, what are you doing, Ashley? There's an RSVP. If they haven't responded, then they're not coming. Oh, Dad, you're so old these days, she said. You don't understand. People don't respond to invitations anymore. So why did I pay for the postage and the invitation to be sent? Why couldn't I have just paid for the phone call for you to ring them? Now, my friend, here it is. Here is an invitation. Here is a banquet. Free, but not cheap. And the invitation comes to you. And how are you going to respond? When I was young, my parents sent me to Sunday school and I thought that life was really quite simple. But one area of life was complex, and that was becoming and being a Christian. I now realise that life isn't as simple as I thought, but becoming and being a Christian is much simpler than I thought. In fact, the very simplicity puts people off. It's as simple as saying to God, I'm sorry, thank you, please. I'm sorry that I've neglected you, I've gone my own way and been in control of my own life. Thank you for sending Jesus to make a banquet available. Please come into my life and forgive me and make me new. Will you do that? That's the invitation from the parable of the great banquet. Recently, my wife and I, just after Christmas, sat down and watched a DVD of a movie. A lady was dying. She urged her Roman Catholic priest to make sure that after her death, he would get her husband to say confession for the first time in his life before he died. And finally, at the end of the film, the husband turns up to the priest and says, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And the priest says, what have you done? And the man says, I kissed a lady at a dance at work one Christmas back in the 1960s. I sold a capital item and made a profit on it and didn't declare it in my tax return in the 1970s. And I never understood my sons. That's it. And the priest said, after a whole life, that's it? Well, that's confession, Hollywood style. What about this? I've been greatly loved by a great God, and that love has largely gone unacknowledged. I've been treated with great generosity, but I've held that generosity in contempt. Great preparation and provision has been made on my behalf, but I've taken it for granted and presumed. How about that for confession? It's free, but it was costly to God our Heavenly Father. There it is, friends. What does it mean to be a Christian? To put your feet under the table of the Lord Jesus Himself in a great banquet with great provision, to have every God-given sense met. How to become a Christian? Sorry, thank you, please. Who will be in heaven? Those who say, yes, I don't deserve it. It's all of grace. And is it a big deal? You cannot save yourself. But by our excuses, we can damn ourselves. Let's bow in prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer. You might like to repeat this in your own brain, in the silence of your own mind, if it's what you want to say to God. Father God, I'm sorry that I've lived life my way and gone my own way, been in control. Thank you for sending Jesus into this world. Thank you for his death and resurrection. Thank you that because of him, I can hear this invitation to a real banquet. Please forgive me and give me the gift of your Holy Spirit now as I leave this place today. And I pray this in the strong name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.